This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so we have so much going on tonight, and why not start with the God himself from Boston, the great Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. First of all, tell me about that. I saw you had posted about the Herald and everything. That was... like, that's bad news, right? Like, that didn't they? Is that paper going away, or is it already gone away? It's just that's not good for the business.
No, it's horrible. They're in bankruptcy, and Gatehouse Media, which owns a few papers around here, like the Providence Journal and Worcester Telegram, have put in a bid to buy them, but they have to go through the bankruptcy process first. So hopefully they're allowed to buy them, and business as usual. But it was quite a scare for a lot of guys, and it's. You know, it's a terrible thing when a town becomes a one newspaper town, because you need that competition. You need the you need someone there driving you every day, and I think that's what the Herald does for the Globe, and the Globe does for the Herald. So I'm hoping that it's business as usual once they get through this bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's been happening a lot over the last few years. Obviously, the game has changed with the internet and all these, iPhones and everything and smartphones. People have gotten their information that way. I have to ask you, though, like, because I think people got really excited when, like, the media shifted into this internet world of all the websites and all the, freelance writers and blogs and all this other, frankly, nonsense. I won't discredit that there's a lot of great writers doing stuff on there. I really respect that there are some great writers, without a doubt. But I have to tell you that I think it's one of the great travesties of my lifetime that I have to sit here and watch the newspaper business go down the toilet, because I have been the guy. I mean, I have 5 newspapers delivered to my driveway every day of my life. The smell of the newspaper is one of the things that gets me going. People have coffee. I have a newspaper. I got to tell you, I think it's one of the most depressing things I've seen in my life, that change, everybody says change is good and everything else. Well, my ass, because I don't like what they've done to the newspaper business. I got to tell you, it really bothers me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I grew up, reading and delivering the Globe when I was a kid, and I've been there for, I've worked there for 30 years now. And, I still look forward to it every morning. I still look forward to putting out a fresh product every day. And I think, there is a place, obviously, for, that the internet journalism and all that other stuff. But I think if you want the real investigative stuff, the hard-hitting stuff, it's still newspapers that get it done, because they take the time. They don't worry about the immediacy of getting everything done right away. They, just look at Spotlight, the movie that was based on the Globe Report and all the work that they did. And the really important work is still done by newspapers. So, they're dying, but I hope they don't, go away forever, because that would just be, like you said, a travesty.
Can you believe that I used to deliver, and I don't know if I ever told you this before. Maybe I have, because I don't remember. I've had you on so many times. You're one of my favorites. I can't remember if I ever told you this, but when I was a little kid, I delivered the Chicago Tribune, and I had over 100 deliveries a day, 7 days a week. And the Chicago Tribune on Sunday is one of the heaviest, most enormous newspapers you've ever seen in your life. It may be the biggest paper in the country. And I used to drag a sled, a toboggan, in literally freezing cold, like 10-degree weather, in snowdrifts, Lake Michigan snow effect. And I used to pull this toboggan with my body, with a rope, and 100 Chicago Tribunes roped down on this thing with like those rope strands. And I used to deliver 100 Chicago Tribs every day of my life for, like, I don't know, at least 7 years. Can you believe I was a paper boy too?
Yeah, it was amazing. When I was growing up, the Globe had 2 editions, a morning paper that my brother delivered and an afternoon paper that my sister and I delivered. So it was crazy. And I remember stacking the plastic toboggans and dragging them through the snow too, especially when the shopping cart that we stole from the local supermarket wouldn't get through the snow, so we had to go to the toboggan. But, yeah, delivering that Sunday Globe. And it was something else.
It's no joke. I think, you know, Carver Hyde just told me in my ear, he believes he'll take the Chicago Tribune over the Boston Globe delivery boys in a 12-round fight. He's taking the Chicago Tribune boys over the Boston Globe boys, even though most of the Boston Globe boys drank whiskey and missed a couple teeth and grew up near Southie. They were a little tougher, but he's going to take the Chicago Tribune based on Al Capone and other ingredients.
I think we have a nice mini-series building here.
Oh, I have the third leg, Scotty. I have the Long Island Newsday guys. That's who I would be throwing in.
Those guys are femmes. Stay out of my life. So anyway, let me ask you. So I couldn't believe what I was watching the other night with the Patriots, how awful that was. I mean, Bill Belichick's press conference after the game was better than the game itself. It was so classic when he wouldn't answer any questions, and he was like, the offside kick didn't work, and he was just so – he was so intimidating, and everyone was so afraid of him, and it was so brilliant that, like, literally nothing was said. But that was, like – it was almost as though they took the night off, that they just threw the game. Like, are you kidding? That might cost them I believe that could cost them the AFC title game at Gillette Stadium, actually.
Yeah, it was a shock to all of us. You know, nothing worked on offense. You know, the outside receivers couldn't get free. Brady was short on a lot of his throws, even the middle ones that he normally completes. You know, with such regularity, 0-for-11 on third down. Couldn't believe that. You know, I talked to Danny Amendola after the game, and he said that the Dolphins did a great job scheming. They went from man to zone to man to zone, and they had a robber in the middle of the field that they hadn't used a ton of times, but a guy that, you know, usually Gronk would destroy on a regular occasion, but he wasn't there. And the Dolphins did a great job scheming. And, you know, we kept waiting for Cutler to throw up all over himself, and he never did. He played Brady-like. And, you know, that was just a kind of an anomaly.
I mean, Jim McBride, when it's from the Globe in Boston, the Patriots always, except that I can remember like twice, I can remember twice they beat them, the Steelers beat them at Heinz Field, but I remember so many Patriot wins there. In January, they beat them by a touchdown in the AFC Championship game back in 2002. They beat them in 2005 early season. They beat them right before Thanksgiving in 2010. And then they beat them, I think, last year, right, and before Halloween. All they do is win at Heinz Field. Are they going to do that again this week, especially coming off a loss?
I think the Patriots are going to be really focused for this game. I think we're going to see a lot of offense, two great offenses, and I think what it ends up coming down to is what defense can make a stop. The Patriots certainly aren't intimidated by going in there. They've won there in the past. I think that the key for the Steelers really is to change up the defense. If they play zone all game long, then Brady's just going to shred them because that's what he's been doing to the Steelers for the last 10 years or so. So I think if they don't change up their defense and take a page out of the Dolphins' book, then they could be in for another long afternoon.
Jim has to go to bed early, but not before he does another segment with us. I still want to talk more about the Patriots and Steelers, and I want to talk about the Celtics, and I want to talk about the Red Sox. So he's going to have to do another segment with us. No questions asked. We're talking to Jim McBride of the Boston Globe. So do you think you know, the Steelers have been gearing up for this game for like a month. Like, their coach is saying that's all that matters to us. He's not one of these guys that's like, all we worry about is what's in front of us. We worry about one game at a time, one week at a time. That's all we fight. He doesn't mince words. He's like, all we care about is the Patriots game. That's it. Like, I got to tell you, I find that refreshing that he's like, this game's huge to us. And everything else is a waste of our time. I love it.
Yeah, I asked him that question specifically today on a conference call. You know, why he does that. He said, look, we talk about goals at the beginning of the season, and, you know, some of the main goal is to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, and you know along the way there's going to be big games. So for us to ignore those big games along the way and say that, you know, week 10 is as important as week 13 against the Patriots is crazy because that's not what it's all about. So definitely a different philosophy than I'm used to hearing in Foxborough. But, yeah, I think you're right. Very refreshing and, you know, not afraid to address the elephant in the room at all.
Do you think that Pittsburgh can – let's see, you know, this game is crucial toward who gets the home field, it would appear to me. But do you think – that Pittsburgh could actually beat them in a playoff game. Like, because that's the bottom line. I really, you can talk all you want about Week 15. It's the AFC title game I care about.
Yeah, I'd give them a shot at Heinz Field in the playoffs, but I don't see the Steelers coming to Foxborough and beating them in the playoffs. And yeah, that's why this game is so big, because if they beat the Patriots are eliminated from the number one seed, because, you know, assuming both teams hold court the rest of the way, they'd have a two-game lead on the Patriots and they'd have the tiebreaker head-to-head. But Jacksonville could still sneak in and steal that number one seed, because they beat the Steelers earlier this year. You know, if all the teams end up 12-4 and the Steelers had beat the Patriots, the Jacksonville would get the number one seed. So there's a lot riding on this game. If the Patriots can win and then hold court, then they know they don't have to go back to Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh beats the Steelers, and they know, I mean, if Pittsburgh beats the Patriots, then they know they don't have to go to Gillette. So it's all or nothing, really. It's a great game, a great late season game, and you know, it's for all the marbles.
Do you think Jim McBride, Boston Globe? Do you think that because they looked to me, they looked naked without Gronkowski? It's painfully obvious they're not the same without him.
Yeah, absolutely. They did have he's missed 25 games in his career since he got it due to injuries, and the Patriots had a 20-5 record going in. They actually played pretty well, and they won a Super Bowl last year without Gronk playing, you know, down the stretch. But they had a healthy Edelman, so that was the huge difference. Winning without Edelman and Gronkowski, that's a tall ask. So I think that's where they work cut out for him, and that's why they signed Kenny Britt late in the season, hoping to get a little magic, reinforce the receiving core that's taken a lot of hits this year.
Wow. So what are they going to do with Britt? What's the plan? Are they going to throw him in there and throw the ball to him? Because he was worthless in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it was one of those cases where he had just, you know, lost interest in Cleveland because they were losing so much, and maybe, you know, he kind of a bad taste in his mouth, but I think they'll get him in there, and they'll try to, get him comfortable as soon as they can. Maybe work on a handful of plays this week in practice. He immediately gives them a big physical presence at the receiver. You know, 6'3", 200-and-something pounds. That's so much bigger than the guys that have been running out there. Amendola, Brandon Cooks, Philip Dorsett to a lesser extent. But those guys are all smaller guys. And it really hurt against the Dolphins, because they didn't have that big guy, Gronkowski, to kind of offset it and kind of take some of the attention away and open up the outside by cutting across the middle. Now they'll have Gronkowski back on Sunday, and, you know, we'll see if Britt can ingratiate himself quickly and build a rapport with Brady, because that's really the main thing. He can run great routes, but if he doesn't get Brady's trust, he's not touching that ball.
Do you think that Pittsburgh defense is that good without Hayden and Shazier? I mean, I got to tell you, I've said this before. I think Shazier is very fast, but they talk about him like he's some kind of god on that defense, and I hate to say it, I just don't buy that. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's ever been a great player, and that defense allows too much. I mean, Flacco torched them last week. If that guy can torch him, imagine what Brady will do to him.
Yeah, I think that Shazier is really instinctive. He knows where to be, but like you say, I don't know if he's a dominating player. I think up front, Cam Hayward kind of sets the tone for that defense, and if he can put pressure up the middle or off the edge on Brady and make him uncomfortable the way the Dolphins did. You know, those guys were diving at his feet and diving at his knees all Monday night, and he couldn't step up and get anything on his throws. I think a lot of people were saying, maybe his shoulder's bothering, or maybe he couldn't plant his feet because of the Achilles injury that he's been nursing the last couple of weeks. But I really think it was the fact that the Dolphins were all over him, and he couldn't get comfortable, and he couldn't step into his throws. And, you know, he didn't have any of those normal, like, frozen ropes that he throws across the middle to Amendola and Gronkowski. Those, you know, Gronkowski wasn't there, but he just didn't make those throws because he never looked comfortable. So I think if Hayward's the guy that I'd be worried about if I was the Patriots, he'd be my top attention getter.
There you go. Let's shift gears. I want to ask you a couple things about the Celtics. That Hayward got his boot off, and he's been talking gibberish that he wants to play this year. Are they seriously going to let this guy fracture his leg and then play basketball in April or May? If they obviously, I think they're going to be playing in April and May that deep, because I think they're a really good team. You can't be serious that this guy's actually going to play basketball this year, is he?
I think that that's still within the realm of possibility, because you know Ainge has talked this even in the last week, and he didn't quash any of the rumors. He was just kind of saying, you know, well, we'll have to assess it when Gordon's fully healthy. But I don't know if that's kind of a lot of pressure to put on a guy to maybe hustle back. But the way they're rolling right now, I certainly wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't tempt fate. I'd make sure this guy is 1,000% healthy before I'd get him in the mix, because you know there's going to be a mental aspect to this thing. He's, you know, the first couple of times he goes up for a rebound or jumps up for a pass, it's going to be going through his head. So you want to go real slow with this guy, especially, you know, there's no sense of urgency. This team is dominating the East with the Cavaliers. I think it's going to come down to the two of them whether Hayward comes back this year or not.
So Horford is day-to-day, and Marcus Morris is out. So the injuries are mounting. If anything happened to Irving, God forbid, I think they'd be screwed. But everybody else seems to be playing well. They got it done tonight against Denver.
Yeah, I think the Celtics loss Monday night kind of got overshadowed by the Patriots game. But Irving didn't play in that game, and they kind of got their heads handed to him. So I think you're absolutely right there. If they lose Irving, That's a big deal.
So let me ask you about the Red Sox, Jim. Jim McBride, the great writer from the Boston Globe, back on the bench, always coming through in the clutch, even during the holidays. So your Red Sox, I got to tell you, they met with J.D. Martinez, and frankly, that's the best they can do, if you ask me, after they got fleeced by the Yankees getting Giancarlo Stanton. Now I guess the evil empire is fully back and lock and loaded. What do they think in Boston of how the Yankees are loading up? And I guess if they get Machado, they'll win about five straight World Series, won't they?
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of the stats from last year. Stanton and Judge combined for 111 home runs. The Sox, as a full nine, had 134 home runs. So they're going to have to move the Green Monster back to Boston University to kind of combat the Yankees. I think the growing frustration around Red Sox Nation right now is that the Sox kind of took the offseason off. You know, Dombrowski's when they asked him about Stanton, he said, well, we made a late call, but they were pretty far down the road with the Yankees. Well, I still think you got to make a play, even no matter how far down they are. You know, just give it your best shot. I think, you know, that was kind of a lame excuse. So I don't know. It's not looking good. They got Stanton, and we got a sponsorship with Sam Adams. Didn't seem real.
Listen,
even to me.
No, wait a minute. That is a very important sponsorship, if you ask me. You gotta listen. Priorities here. Carver High immediately had cringe face. Don't ever mock the beer sponsor for the team. This is crucial. Let me ask you this question: what did Stephen Wright do? We don't know the details of who he beat up, allegedly.
Yeah, that was kind of tricky. He got arrested, but I guess the victim said, you know, it was all verbal. So I'm not really sure why he got taken into custody. But, you know, there's a guy that 2 years ago was the best pitcher on this staff, and he's kind of fallen off the face of the earth ever since.
So the Bruins are playing good defense, I think. They're not giving up a lot of goals. Didn't they? Who was it that they were? Were they tied tonight? I was watching the game before. I think they were.
As I was sitting here talking to this guy, the Brad Marchand just won an overtime.
Marchand.
Yeah, they scored a goal late. They pulled the goalie. They pulled Rask with 2 minutes to go and tied it up, and then they won an overtime.
So, in Detroit.
In Detroit.
Oh, so Carver High just said into my ear, he's the dirtiest player in the league, and McBride says in my other ear, I love dirty players.
That was the first team I grew up loving was the Boston Bruins. So when they win, I'm a happy man.
That's right. Jim, listen, Merry Farrellmas, Happy New Year. I love you. My last show's Friday for the year, so thanks for coming on this week. I always love reading your columns. You're the best. I always love having you on the show. All the very best to you and your family during the holidays. Have a great holiday with your family, friends, et cetera. Eat a lot of food. Get fat. And I'll talk to you during the playoffs.
Sounds great. Love you too, Scotty. Thanks for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.